The United Kingdom and wealthy European nations are in a panic, and surprisingly hoarding huge swaths of the global vaccine supplies has enabled the emergence of dangerous new variants of COVID-19. Once again, rich countries are punishing the victims of global vaccine inequalities by slamming shut the borders to anyone from Southern African nations. This afternoon, we chat to Fatima Hassan, human rights lawyer and director of Cape Town-based Health Justice Initiative. Fatima, assalamu alaikum and welcome to the program.
Wa alaikum salam. Thank you.
Shukran for joining us. The United Kingdom and wealthy European nations are in a panic. Tell us why.
So I've written an op-ed in Al Jazeera, which you are very gracefully quoting from, and thank you. And the reason we said that they're in a panic is because they don't know how to deal with the information that has been shared by scientists in Southern Africa and now elsewhere in the world. And the immediate response was to put us on a travel ban list. So there's been, in the last 48 hours, some uneven application of the travel ban. In countries where the variant has been detected, those countries are not necessarily put on the travel ban, but you know, several countries in Southern Africa, including South Africa, have been put on the travel ban. So when we say the knee-jerk reaction, that's what we mean, because instead of dealing with the issues around how to address the variant, how to ensure that we have proper information to deal with it, and then also how do we scale up vaccination, not just in South Africa, but in all parts of the world, particularly the rest of Africa, which has a very low vaccine rate because there aren't enough vaccine supplies. You know, the reaction has been to basically isolate us and, you know, in certain cases actually discriminate against us, which we believe is uncalled for and is also quite irresponsible at the stage of the pandemic.
Yes. You've spoken about, you know, the unavailability of vaccines for some of the African countries, and that's why there's low levels of individuals being vaccinated. Why are wealthy nations hoarding vaccines?
So I think, you know, the reason they're doing this is because it's two things, right? It's vaccine nationalism, and it's this idea that they want to prioritize whatever limited supplies they are for their own people first before they actually send the supplies to other countries where healthcare workers and people over 60 or over 70 or people with comorbidities may need it. And we've seen this since late 2020, where some of these countries basically signed pre-orders, which would prioritize them in terms of access. So we have this really uneven vaccine access situation in the world right now, where many of those countries in the global north are giving third shots and fourth shots, what some people call booster shots. And many countries in low-income parts of the world, including in Africa, haven't even received the first shot. So if I just give you some numbers, of the 7.2 or 7.4 billion doses of vaccines that have been administered around the world so far in multiple countries, in low-income countries, only 7 people out of every 100 were able to access those doses. So most of the doses have gone to high-income countries because I think they were under some naive, you know, misapprehension that if they vaccinated their own people multiple times over, that they would be safe and effective. And again, I'm going to go to what happened in the last 72 hours. It's shown how foolish that strategy is. And they should have done what the WHO had actually recommended, which is you first start by vaccinating every single healthcare in the world, and then you deal with people who are over 70, people with comorbidities, and then you deal with the rest of the population. So, you know, there are places in Africa where they're still waiting for sufficient supplies to vaccinate the elderly, yet there are children being vaccinated. Not that we don't want them to be vaccinated, but that's a situation of vaccine nationalism, where people in Africa and Latin America in particular, and some parts of Asia, have not been prioritized.
Interesting point that you made a reference that, you know, with the data that came out about the discovery of the new variant that scientists had discovered in South Africa, the way in which that information was processed, like as though they didn't know what to do with it. And if you look at it, you know, the Omicron variant has not exclusively been found in Southern Africa. Cases have been discovered in Asia and Europe, including UK. So why is the global or Southeast being blamed for it across the globe?
So I think it's part of a pattern of the way in which, you know, the North has dealt with the Global South throughout this pandemic. And that has been basically to use the variants as a way of actually punishing parts of the global south and actually isolating us instead of actually working together as part of a common purpose to try and deal with all of the implications of the different variants. And remember that the variant was was identified in Botswana and South Africa, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it originated here. And, you know, within a day, they were able to detect the variant in Belgium in a patient that had nothing to do with Southern Africa. They had actually traveled through North Africa. And like you said, they've now found cases in multiple parts of the world. But still, there's a travel ban on most of the countries in Africa and not necessarily all the other countries. And so when we talk about the overreaction and the knee-jerk reaction, you know, one of the journalists asked a very telling question, which was, if the US CDC, the Centers for Disease Control, had detected the variant, and they probably wouldn't, because we have some of the best genomic surveillance in the world in South Africa, and we should really congratulate our scientists. But assuming the US was able to detect that variant with 22 cases, would the US had been put on a ban list? And we think not. There would have been discussions, there would have been conversations, meetings, instead of this, you know, immediate sort of travel ban, which has caused great chaos around the world. But I think that the irony of what has happened is that it's woken people up to the reality that we're going to continue with this pandemic for years and years unless we address the issue of fair and equitable access to vaccines, and then also treatment and testing kits as well.
Yes, so is that really the way forward? Because in your article, you write that if we do not want COVID-19 to continue exacerbating the racist and the colonial world order, we need to change. So how do we do that?
So one of the things that we've been calling for in the last year is something called the TRIPS waiver. And by that, we mean that you suspend intellectual property rules on all of these life-saving technologies for the duration of the pandemic so that we can actually get more people to make the vaccines that are needed, particularly in Africa, as well as any of the diagnostics or treatment options that are currently available or may become available over time. So if you don't deal with intellectual property rules and the restrictions, which basically allow pharmaceutical companies to have a monopoly on the particular product, then we're actually not going to be able to share the knowledge and scale up manufacturing. So that has been one of the key obstacles this year to trying to get as many manufacturers as possible to make this life-saving intervention. And you know, South Africa is in a bit of a different situation. We waited for months and months and months for the supplies. We got it in a drip feed phase. I mean, you know this because that's why we had this, you know, age cohort prioritization program where we all had to wait our turn in age groups because there weren't sufficient supplies at the time. Now we do have sufficient supplies, and now we've got to encourage, you know, more people in our country to get vaccinated. So time is running out against us. We really do hope that the news of the variant and the way in which it's been managed doesn't just reset the intellectual property rules, but it resets the way in which we actually, you know, deal with global health and deal with how we share information in a way that doesn't punish countries but actually supports countries.
Yes, certainly. We hope that these inequalities can be reversed. Fatima, jazakumullah khair for chatting to us. Your time appreciated.
Absolute pleasure. Shukran.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam.